us from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. And it's a reading for remembrance and healing as we hear the story of the holy innocents. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and he killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old and younger, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, and from the Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. Where were you? Those of us who are baby boomers and those of the great generation can answer that question. And they will point you to the events of November 22nd, 1963, as the presidential motorcade rode through Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas. A shot rang out. President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. I'm toward the end of the baby boom. I was 2.5 years old when that event took place. But the impact of that event lasted for many years afterward, and it brought this nation to a standstill. Where were you? When we asked that question today, our reference point has changed. And if you are in your mid-20s or older, then you remember exactly where you were when that first plane, American Airlines Flight 11, hit the North Tower of the World Trade Center at 8:46 a.m. And then you remember 17 minutes later, a second plane, United Airlines Flight 175, hit the South Tower. Within an hour and 42 minutes, both of those 110-story towers had collapsed. A third flight, American Airlines Flight 77, was hijacked over Ohio and crashed into the Pentagon at 9:37 a.m. The fourth and final plane, United Airlines Flight 93, was headed for Washington, D.C., where its intended target was either the White House or the U.S. Capitol. But a heroic group of passengers fought to regain control of that flight, and it crashed at 10:03 a.m. in a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, far short of its intended target. If you remember, then I don't have to tell you the overwhelming sense of loss that we faced as a nation. It was surreal. I can tell you exactly where Pastor Bobby and I were that morning. It was our monthly gathering for the Hill Country Lutheran pastors. We were at Bethany Lutheran Church, just a couple of blocks away from here. The feeling in that room that morning as we all arrived and were hearing the news was a feeling of listlessness, numbness, shock, horror, hopelessness. the nation had come to a halt. All flights were grounded, travel was suspended, military aircraft filled the skies. People frantically tried to check on the welfare of loved ones who may have been in harm's way, some who would not hear for hours and for days where their loved ones might be. What else could we do as a group of pastors gathered at a church on that morning dew but pray? When all hell breaks loose, the only place that one can turn is to the one who conquered sin and death and the devil, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as wonderful as this world is in which you and I live and work and play and enjoy our life, it's also fraught with many dangers, and the face of evil is always lurking beneath the shadows. Matthew 2, our text for today, is a clear reminder of that. Matthew tells us the story of Jesus' birth, beginning in chapter 1, Mary and Joseph. And then the Magi come in chapter 2, the wise men. They bring gifts. They came to Jerusalem seeking to honor and worship this holy child prophesied from ancient times. But as they came, another set of ears perked up to take note of that news. Those ears belonged to Herod, named king of Judea by the Roman Senate, called the Great, to distinguish himself from his sons. He was a ruthless leader whose paranoia had him kill his own family and members and close associates. This man was filled with evil, and the devil was intent on using him to thwart God's plan of sending his son Jesus into this world to save it. Herod saw this infant child as a threat to his power, his authority, his rule, and he committed one of the most heinous acts in history. Verse 16 tells us that in his fury and rage, Herod sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old and younger. Children are our hope. And when that hope is taken away, what is left? The quote from Jeremiah in Matthew speaks volumes. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. The world is full of unspeakable evil, and it rears its ugly head all the time. And maybe it's not on the scale of what Herod did, or on the scale of a presidential assassination, or on that horrific event that we remember today of 9/11. But there are those day in and day out things that happen in the world in which we live all the time. A quick search on the internet brings up events too numerous to mention. I just will recall a few that happened in just my lifetime. The UT Tower shooting, August 1st, 1966. The Kent State Massacre, May 4th, 1970. The attempted assassination, another one on President Ronald Reagan, May 30th, 1981. The Killeen, Texas Luby's Restaurant shooting, October 16th, 1991. The Columbine Massacre, April 20th, 1999. Not to mention many, many, many more shootings at schools and post offices, universities, government offices, restaurants, movie theaters, bowling alleys, and yes, even churches. Where does it stop? How do we respond? There will always be evil. And evil will always cause a great deal of pain and destruction and death. But hear this and hear this loudly and hear it clearly. Evil will never win. Evil will never win. And do you know why? Because Jesus Christ has already won. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever lose your hope and your faith in Jesus. those holy, innocent children may have died, but they did not die in vain. Their death allowed Jesus to escape for the present time so that at the right time, he could die for the sake of the entire world. In Romans chapter 5, St. Paul shares some very powerful words, starting in verse 3. He says, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Do you hear that? He says, we rejoice even in our sufferings, even in the face of evil, especially in the face of tragedy and death. Why can we rejoice in those difficult times? Well, Paul goes on to tell us in verse 8, because God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's the good news. And God has delivered us time and again. If you go through your history, God brought us through the Red Sea onto the dry ground in Exodus chapter 14. He brought us through the wilderness into the promised land in Deuteronomy 29. He carried us through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 23, so that at the end of that psalm we hear these words, we may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His promise is secure and sure. His word is holy and pure. His love is great and never ending. His kingdom is impending. His might will prevail until all evil is assailed. One of the reasons that we gather here Saturday evening and Sunday morning as Christians to worship is because we remember. We remember that Jesus paid the ultimate price. His life was not lost. He willingly gave it on that cross so that we might have hope. Jesus died to pay the price for our sin, so that we wouldn't be lost for all eternity. He died that we might be forgiven of our sins and even the evils that you and I perpetrate, because we are far from perfect. The good news is that death could not contain our Lord and Savior. The devil thought he'd won. The religious leaders believed that they were rid of this man who was a threat to their power and their rule and their authority. The Roman government thought they had rid themselves of a troublemaker. But Jesus had the last word. Several years ago, Tony Campolo, some of you know, he's a great author and speaker in his own right, but Tony delivered a message entitled, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." With all due respect, Tony Campolo did not deliver that original message. No, he was inspired by a man named S.M. Lockridge. S.M. Lockridge came from very humble beginnings, born in Robertson County, Texas. That's Franklin and Hearn, and for any Aggie fans out there, that's just north of the promised land, okay? S.M. Lockridge was the oldest son of a Baptist minister. He himself became a very prominent pastor. He was a pastor of Calvary Baptist Church, a prominent African-American congregation located in San Diego, California, from 1953 to 1993. And he was well known for preaching across the United States and around the world. Campolo borrowed this message from a sermon that Dr. Lockridge had preached, a message that I think speaks so eloquently to our remembrance today that I want to share that portion of the message with you now. This is in honor of Dr. Lockridge and to the glory of God. It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's asleep. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying, Peter's denying, but they don't know that Sunday's a coming. It's a Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns, but they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, his spirit's burdened. You see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning, and evil is grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nail my Savior's hands to the cross. They nail my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raise him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My King yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. And a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday. Sunday is a coming. Why do we gather today? So that we don't forget. So that we don't forget those innocent lives that have been lost. So that we know that those lives were not and are not lost in vain. Yes, every death is a tragedy, and every death affects a person's family and loved ones in a profound way. And yet, every firefighter, every policeman or woman, every soldier, every emergency worker and their families know that when they're called out, they may not come back. You see, they're called to serve, to give their lives in the same spirit that Christ Jesus gave his life for the world, to save us from evil, from tyranny, from oppression, and from terror. And yes, some pay the ultimate price. It is those that we honor today. May we never forget the sacrifice that has been made. But we may we also never forget the overwhelming victory that Jesus has won. That promise, that hope of the resurrection to new life. That's why we gather today. Thanks and praise be to God and to Jesus Christ, our Lord.